Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand and you're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Awesome.
Hey, this is Nick Stahl, and you're listening to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Cool.
Survivors, welcome to episode 93 of the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
Hey! Yes. Alright, before we begin covering season 7, episode 10, titled Morning Cloak, I was kind of poking around in our podcast feeds and noticed that we got a rating.
Yay.
And it comes from Whitest of White, entitled Deep Into the Rabbit Hole. And they say, I'm new to listening, currently on season 3. And at first, I wasn't sure if I would continue listening. I stuck with you guys and glad I did. You dive deep into the episodes and overthink a lot of stuff, which I love. My favorite podcasts are long and varied details. You fit those. I was not a fan of Ruthie, sorry, but just something about her was making the episode not flow well for me. When Kyle came in, it felt complete. He's great. Brian is amazing. The format is nice because you aren't just walking through what happened beat for beat. Instead, you discuss scenarios and character development. All in all, enjoyed listening. Keep it up. And that came around March of this year. So thank you. And season 3, which definitely was a good fear season. And so we definitely, you know, keep going, keep listening to us and catch up because we love to have your feedback, in the, you know, on the podcast and, you know, you have, you know, where the Facebook group is and, you know, join up. So thank you very much. It's awesome. And listeners, like, I mean, if you are just doing the word of mouth and like telling friends, you know, if like a good podcast to listen to, you know, have them, you know, post reviews, or if you have a posted review, you know, all that stuff helps get us, you know, pushed up on the like the ratings or the rankings and stuff like that. And Podchaser, I was looking at that the other day. That's a good place to just add some more reviews and just like, or even just likes, just like kind of like our stuff. YouTube, definitely hit the like button when the episode comes out because that helps for sure. All right. Well, let's continue on with this wonderful episode. Well, first, we did get some feedback from our last podcast from Fear the Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 9, titled Follow Me. And it comes from none other, our wonderful, wonderful fear commenter, Aaron, from the internet. And this was from last week's episode of her reactions to listening to the podcast. And so she goes, Alicia's is back and in the entire episode, which is something that was good, almost like old times, which is why they had her promptly leave, I can only assume. They don't understand seasons 1 through 3 were what fans enjoyed, not this insanity that has been season 4 and on, you know, so far. These new people, I like new people, should be giving a little more time before they decide to kill them off. She was quoting me. She's like, agreed. Like, we knew Paul was too good for this world, so he was bound to die early. But did he have to go out now? Could we not have had him for at least 2 more episodes with Alicia and the group as a whole before he died? Completely agree. We talked about that, and it was kind of, even with this episode, I'll bring that up. But it's like, we like new people, and they keep taking them away from us. She goes on, she says, I didn't even know there was a spinoff. I'm struggling to stay with fear, so a spinoff I doubt I'll ever watch. I think she might be talking about the Dead in the Water, maybe, since we covered that.
Probably so.
Yeah, and actually, that was actually really good. I think that was kind of in the style of old fear, so I would give it a try if you have AMC Plus, because I don't know when it's going to actually show up on regular. She goes, quote, Padre, Padre, Padre. She's like, LOL. I think we're all tired of Padre at this point. And she, smiley face. She says, no, send Morgan back. And then, quote, and they'll never know. She's like, LOL, LT. She sucked down enough antibiotics to cure 7th Fleet on shore leave at this point. She liked that comment. And then she says, a new sauce? This should be in the what category or awesome, depending on how it goes. And she went, ha. And I actually kind of worked a little for this week. But again, yeah, this is just kind of a test trial. And it's kind of more of just like if it's something that's just a little more ridiculous outside of just the normal what's. Because like I had a lot of what's this week. So we'll keep it going, I guess, just to see how it goes. And she goes on, man, I hope it's not a future kid as a spirit guide. Let it be past little Alicia helping her to come back to the good guy she's always has been on the show and have hope. And I have no hopes with the series anymore, so whatever the plan, I don't trust it. But she's quoting, she's like, I can't wait for Charlie to meet Madison. And then, quote, I forgave Charlie. Love that exchange. Smiley face. Yeah. Then we get to a Charlie episode this week.
Yes, we do.
Oh, full of Charlie. Thank you, Aaron, as always. And then next, we actually got an email from Mike from Asheville, and he says, I'm going to be quick with this. I was late watching this, and I pretty much agree with everything everyone said about this episode. The one thing I would say is Paul would be a great character to have shown up in the anthology series. He and his wife would make a good episode. There were a lot of unexplored tidbits about him. Agreed. And since we already know the anthology, basically people that are already in it and what's coming up, but this is the stuff that I would say, like, this is the stuff that I would like to, you know, would look to see in the anthology series, since that's kind of seemingly like that's what they're setting up, that part of the Walking Dead, you know, universe, that we can get these kind of like new stories and background, because, you know, again, they like to, Fear does this a lot. It's like they like to introduce us to new characters. It almost seems like they hook us in and then they take them away. And I don't like that at all. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. That leads us into this week's episode. Fear of the Walking Dead, Season 7, Episode 10, titled Morning Cloak. It was written by Nazrin Chowdhury and Kayla Michelle Stallworth. Directed by Lenny James. Description was, Charlie agrees to help one of Strand's Rangers on a mission for the tower. All right, let's go into our ratings. And I gave it a 7, and then I put in parentheses, like, kind of really trying here. Butterfly Quest, because there was a lot of butterflies. And
yes, there was.
And Allie was sent on a mission to go find a butterfly, which she found really quickly.
It's true. And I gave it a 7.5 out of 10, Young Love in the Apocalypse. Well, I was going to say 7.5 out of 10, Angels Without Wings, but
a little too on the nose.
Or The Will treatment. But
yeah. Oh, well, there was a lot of that. Yeah. Like that, another recurring thing that seems to be a common thing at Strand's Tower. All right. Well, let's get into our listeners' ratings. All right.
Deanna from Detroit says, I rate this episode 5 out of 10. What in the Young and Restless soap opera crap drama is this? And why did I watch it? Couldn't even stomach watching it twice. And that's followed by an angry face and two cussing faces.
Oh, goodness. So viewer listeners' ratings are going down, and I can't disagree. But next is Glennis from Toronto, and she gave it a 6 out of 10, Butterfly Effect.
Emma from the UK gives it a 4 out of 10, Boring Cloak, not Morning Cloak.
Ouch. And then Erin from the internet, and she is doing, this was, I guess, correct is the ratings that she did from, like I was questioning last week. She said 4 out of 5. And then she said, I would give this episode a 5 out of 5 because while I found the romance for me boring, this episode had zero Morgan, and I love that. But Allie came back for Charlie, so I got to knock that weak trope move by them. I could have pushed it back up if we found out at the end that Charlie was playing him, and having him turn off the light knowing Howard would kill him for it was one less ranger, and if he succeeded, then that part of the plan works, but she didn't, so yeah, bummer there. Next week looks like less Morgan too, and some Daniel content, because they finally remember he's on the show too, technically, so still, so it should be a good one. We'll see.
Yes, we shall.
Yep. All right, well, thank you all, and let's go into our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
Okay, well, I guess we can kick off the awesome sauce with Dieta from Detroit. And she says, that's 4 chin scratching emojis. June finally gets a backbone? Shrug, shrug.
Yeah, she did step it up, and that was a little bit surprising, but actually kind of nice to see, because I think it kind of added a little element of where we see John Sr. and her, like how they're living in Strand's world. You know, that they're not necessarily on board, but yet they are, they're still surviving. So they're trying to stay at least, you know, valuable and doing something. All right, thank you, Dieta. Next is Glenn from Toronto, and she says, the stalker's taken out by walkers at the door after Ali opened the door. Nice escape, and quit thinking of a trainee ranger.
Emma from the UK says, struggling here, but I guess Ali's synchronized butterfly catch and walker kill. And she goes on to say, shot of walker fingers in the elevator door.
Nice. And then next is Erin from the internet, and she says in all caps, no Morgan Jones in this episode. And then 3 big smiley faces. And she said, also awesome, Howard killing Allie because it was in character, and June telling Howard she was more valuable than him, so Strand wouldn't mind if she killed him. Yep, June getting a backbone. All right, well, thank you everyone for your awesome sauce. All right, let's go into ours. This was kind of tough because I'll go on later because I have a lot of whats. There was that point, and this is not me saying that I thought Charlie is awesome, because you know how I feel about Charlie.
Yes, I do.
Yes. it's a stretch, but I did like, and even if she was BSing it to Howard and John about her talking about being so young when everything started, if she's turning 13 now, like she said, then she would have been, say, what, 7 when the ZA started? Or somewhere around
there?
Yeah. So it's like, so like with her being a kid, and then especially when she met Madison and company at the baseball park. So it was a little believable of her saying that she was tired of going from one fight to the next, and that she just wanted to live a normal life. And while the feeling and the connection with her story was fleeting after that scene, I felt it was really nice to see, because, you know, we've seen that with Carl growing up, and that's like, you know, and that's another part of The Walking Dead, of like seeing, you know, we have our adult characters, you know, we have all the main characters, you know,
right,
doing all their stuff, you know, like how are they surviving and dealing with like the people and like, you know, protecting their family and stuff like that. So it was kind of nice to see that being kind of like brought up and talked about or whatever, because then you have to think back. It's like, yeah, when she was meeting our crew, she was like young, you know, and like what, you know, and she hooked up with the vultures, you know, and like what, you know, she's a kid, you know, like what else is she supposed to do? She's just trying to survive and understand the world. And then this also kind of is like, you know, seeing the just kids growing up in the ZA, and then, you know, we got to see Lizzie and Mika. And then, you know, it was just nice because it gives like this tiny glimpse into something that was insightful, but then it just all gets washed away with the rest of the episode. So, I mean, I'm giving it my awesome sauce because it's like, that's the kind of stuff, like character development or just like kind of insights that I really enjoy and like to see. And kind of how we had with Paul, where it's like, you hooked me in. I want to know more, you know, stuff like that. So out of this whole episode, it was like that one part of it I really, really enjoyed. I'm giving it that. So I'll leave it at that.
Well, so my awesome sauce is kind of thin, but it is what it is. I actually listed Howard this go round because this is, I think, the most range we've seen him display. And I would say to me, he's acting like the assistant manager that's trying to be the tough guy while the big boss is on vacation. That, you know, he keeps doing all the little toady things, you know, Victor's not going to like that. Victor's not going to like that. But then it's like he's trying to be in charge.
Right.
So I don't know, you know, where is Victor off out somewhere doing something? So, you know, this was a chance for Howard to kind of be the big man. And who knows? Maybe part of the conflict is going to be he's going to like being in charge.
Yeah.
You know, it gave him a chance to be a little bit more than the, you know, the Igor. You know, basically Strand saying something, he's like, yes, Victor, it's a wonderful plan. You know, being the bad, menacing sidekick that he is. I also enjoyed just seeing, you know, like was stated earlier, I liked seeing, you know, June showing just how, you know, tough she can be when she needs to and how she stood up to Howard. And the fact that we got that little nibble at the end that, you know, maybe her and John Sr. are not quite as down with the program as Victor thinks. So I think that was a good, hopefully a good positive foreshadowing of things to come.
Yeah. That I completely can agree with because, I'm glad you brought this up too, because it's like, you know, they're giving us the insight of like, not that I was thinking that they were ever going to be on the side of Victor and like, you know, they're there basically trying to kind of, I guess, kind of like try to sneakily kind of keep their motives hidden for the right opportunity or like, you know, or something to help like, you know, Morgan and the rest of them to like, you know, be a value of something, but also know that Victor needs her and John, I would say, and Wendell and all that. But the one thing that I thought was interesting was like the fact that they know Victor. Like,
yes, they do.
So it's like they're on a kind of a different relationship level than Howard is. And it's almost like Victor and June, like all of like that, you know, it's like they might be estranged, you know, family members, but they're still family.
Yep.
In that sense. And then to me, it's like, well, that means Howard, and maybe that's exactly like how he is acting this episode. It's just like, he's not on that level. He may never get to that level. And that means he can be definitely more expendable. And that June and John have a little bit more sway or more power or like, you know, hey, look at all the stuff that we've been through together and you're going to I don't see like that would be a big step for Victor to take out one of them when you know, they've been through so much together. So I don't know. I just, it's kind of like calling his bluff, you know, Howard. It's like, yeah, like, no, you're not going to sit there and, you know, dictate to me, because like, I know where I stand and I know what I can do. So,
yep.
Yep. So good. All right. Well, I guess then that takes us into our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Well, let's kick off our weak sauce with Dieta from Detroit, who says, this whole episode, just throw the whole show away. And she's got two little trash cans.
Goodness. Oh, ouch. All right. Next is Emma from the UK. And she says, I don't believe a relationship built between Charlie and Allie in such a short time. Don't believe Morgan would have sent Charlie on her own on such a dangerous mission. Who were the random folks outside the building? And why is the radiation so high just in that particular building? And so many questions. Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was wondering. All right. Glenn from Toronto says, trying to pass Charlie off as a 13-year-old. Also, Ali as a 15-year-old wasn't realistic. The actors themselves are really 16 and 19, respectively. Yes, Glennis, I'm going to get into that in a minute.
Good. All right. And then Erin from the internet, she says, Ali coming back for Charlie. This would have been such a more interesting episode if he left her and she had to find her way out. I was rooting for him to be the cold-blooded ranger he wanted to be, but no, they went all tropey. Frowny face. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you all. All right. Let's go into our weak sauce. I'm kind of Ollie's character kind of, or just, I don't know. It was something about like the dialogue was just weird, or just how he was acting when he was with Charlie. Because it just felt like it was so monotone, and it was like they were trying to make him like this tough guy or like an adult, like he was trying to be an adult. And I guess I kind of have to put that in perspective where like, okay, they're kids and, you know, he's trying to, you know, be the ranger, you know, and he's on this mission with her. So he's the leader kind of thing. But I don't know. It was just kind of weird and it kind of bugged me. And it's like, I agree with him. And it's like, I did not buy their like budding relationship. I don't know. It just, there was something about it that just kept throwing me off. And so I just wasn't kind of like, it just wasn't working for me. And then there was also the part where it's like Allie said that he'd been at the bowling alley and he knew the gun was behind the counter. But then I was like, well, then whoever owned the place or like other survivors, like wouldn't that place would have, like, again, wouldn't these places have been picked clean after all these years?
Would make one wonder, wouldn't it?
Right, because you would think that it's like, what are you? You say that like the place had been held up a number of times, and so that's how you knew they had a gun behind the counter or a shotgun. And then I'm like, but are you the only one that would have ever known that? And then also, it's like when people are trying to survive the start of a zombie apocalypse, that you know, like those things would have been the first things to go. So I don't know. I was kind of like, oh yeah, like it's again, these things are just, they're there, and it was a perfect thing that just worked out perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I wasn't sure where this town was compared to where the tower was. And I don't know. I was kind of like, okay, where are they? You know, where's this building? You know, I guess it's not necessarily that we need to know like every location, like how far away from the tower, like how much they're traveling, but it does kind of still feel like, okay, I need a little bit more something to kind of give me a better grasp on like what, you know, like what's the perimeter, like how far are they going outside of Houston, right, or wherever. And you know, it's just like showing us these things, I don't know. So, and he was from there, so it's kind of like you're from that area and then you find the tower, become a citizen of the tower, then it's kind of like, well, what have you been doing this whole 6 years, you know? And then the bomb, you know, it's kind of like, is everybody just staying put? It, you know, it's like, were you with another group? And I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah. It's sort of one of those deals where you're going, Okay.
Like, it's like, did we forget that we were 6 years in or 7 years in? Yeah, I don't know. It just.
Right.
It's.
Well, we know they have problems with time and distance, and obviously they have problems with aging as well.
Yep.
So I went in, and the first thing I had to throw in the weak sauce was after Charlie scampered into the building, when the stalkers all were trying to get in the back door of the building, and, you know, Ali did his little pull the screwdriver, hide behind the door, and the zombies made the mad rush down the alley. That was the biggest bunch of knuckleheads I've ever seen. You know, you've got a choke point. You're not that far from the entrance to the alley. Back up.
Right.
Just back up. And on top of that, you had one person with a handgun and at least one person with a rifle. And just by the sound effects, perhaps a fully automatic rifle.
Yeah.
That's when you use, you know, what little cognition you have in your coconut there. And you do a disengage. You dump the mag and back up. And speaking of firing blindly, isn't it amazing that grid lattice plywood door protected Ali from the walkers and from all the random gunfire? I'm just saying, in that situation, hopefully, if I've got, you know, my two little sidekicks that I'm running around in the apocalypse with, we would have come over this situation before. And it's like, if something happens, back up. Just backpedal as fast as your little feet will carry you and fire at head level and keep moving back till you're out of the alley and then take a corner.
Right, right, right.
That's all they would have had to have done.
Yeah,
you know, at that point, the zombies are a bigger threat than Ali. You've got his gun. Get out of the alley and then use that constriction to your advantage. And then after all the zombies are rode up like cordwood, then you can worry about the little guy.
Yeah, because, like, where's he going to go? Inside? It's like, fine.
Yeah, or whatever. What's he going to? And two, where's he going to go? He's going to go into a dark room that's potentially full of more zombies.
Right. Right.
And if he does, then yabba dabba do. You know, you may have taken care of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I just thought that was the most incredibly stupid, you know, throwaway mook kind of thing to do. And just like we've already said, and this phrase is going to be used a few times in this episode, how long has it been since we've had the zombie apocalypse by now?
Right. Oh, yeah, that, what you just said, just let, that's part of one of my what sauces. Cause it was like, I was like, well,
I have a feeling that my weeks may be your whats. So,
well, it's like, cause that, what it was, that whole scene, and you're right. It's like, wait, like, you guys have like the position. And it literally was like he opened the door and then they just sat there. And it's like, it made no sense because I was kind of like, wait, you actually can, yeah, step back. Like, you have room behind you to, like, give yourself distance so that you can just basically, like, fire on them and take care of the problem. But, and then, you know, it's like, and then, of course, they're wearing all their, like, garb. And I'm like, that's at least some protection to, like, do you have knives or whatever to, well, like, take them?
Why are you wearing the Goodwill donation bin outfits if not to protect you from being bitten and ambient radiation?
Right.
Is it just a fashion statement? I mean, it's the whole thing of when you see the Commonwealth guys getting gnawed on wearing armor, that for the most part, unless they get around that neck guard or they, you know, nibble a bit of that Under Armour that doesn't have the padding on it, you're pretty set as long as you keep your wits about you.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, we're talking about you, screaming girl. You'll be fine. You yeah. just keep your head, keep your composure, and start swinging and pushing and get them off of you.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing that, too, is weird. It's like, so, like, Charlie and Allie were not wearing their masks. And so it was kind of like, okay, that's, you know, like, what's going on? But then it was also, it's like, when they were pushing, like, leading them to the door, to open the door, like, they're, like, scanning above them and around there and whatever. And I'm kind of like, aren't those big hoods and, like, that little tiny opening of your mask? Like, doesn't that just, like, block your sight line? Like, I mean, it just seems like so, like... Well, you're basically making this harder than it needs to be.
Well, it cuts down your peripheral vision, so you have to turn your head more than you would think. But, you know, I was going to kind of give them a pass on the looking, because at least they're looking up.
I you guess, know,
that's
yeah.
more, that's more than we've gotten before.
True.
Is, you know, it is a 360-degree world. So anytime they turn their head from, you know, 0 degrees at zero elevation, I'm happy. I guess the next thing, other than our, you know, patrol of dinguses there in the alley, is when they said the elevator was broken and they were sending in Charlie to go get something for the elevator. Here I am thinking, oh, they're going to get something for the elevator. So I'm thinking, it's a motor. It's a chain. It's a gear. It's a part. Not a freaking electrical panel. I mean, of all the things in an elevator that's probably the easiest to bodge with stuff you probably have around would be buttons. Unless, you know, unless we have an Otis repairman out there that's going to take me to task for what's actually behind the panel. As far as I know, those are just relays and electrical switches. And I don't think that they're like special elevator shaped electrical switches. So the fact that she was in there doing the Elwood blues with the screwdriver, taking that panel off, I'm going, really? Really? That's what you're going to get?
Yeah.
Really?
That's exactly what I thought too. Cause it was like, is like, oh, Strand wants the elevator fixed. And so I was thinking, like, yeah, there's like, you know, like, yeah, the gears or maybe the wheels of like hold it under the track or like, you know, a brake or like whatever, this and that. And so then when she's doing that, I'm like, really? It's just the panel? But then it made me think, I'm like, okay, wait, aren't they in like the Houston area or like in a near a bigger city, regardless if it's Houston or whatever? And it's like, isn't there elevators in like a ton of other buildings? Like they could have found, like, why was it this one building is the only place that has like what they were looking for that was also like, you know, irradiated? But it, you know, it's like, there's, literally, you're the building next to the tower probably has an elevator panel that you can totally use. And an elevator panel is not something that people are going to steal trying to survive the initial beginnings of the zombie apocalypse. So I'm pretty sure those are still going to be around in pretty every place you go.
You know, I've got a gun. You know, I've got a box 9mm ammo. I've got a carton of cigarettes. I have an electrical panel from an elevator.
Yes.
That's like Jack Sparrow and his, I've got a jar of dirt. it's like, okay.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. It's just, like, anyways, go on.
Okay. And since you already mentioned it, let me continue on the bowling alley. So when we were talking about this show having a problem with time and space, the other issue that I'm beginning to have is, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but it seems like they have a problem with how far is earshot. You know, did the zombie virus make everybody deaf as a post? Because one minute you're okay, first of all, you're inside of a large open building with no real cover, and you're just standing there like deer in a headlight. And I don't care how much, you know, crap post-apocalypse stain and, you know, nicotine smoke there is on the inside of that bowling alley door. I just don't see the fact that sitting there, you know, quietly hiding behind the scoring table is going to give you enough cover to not be seen. Unless, again, we are talking about the same bunch of mooks that just got killed in the alley. So.
I think we might be.
So it's the fact that it's like, you know, there's people outside, hide, don't talk. And then it's like, you know, hey, Fred, let's throw a few frames to the bowling alley. You know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, like that's not going to attract attention.
Or make lots of noise.
It's like, wait, did you hear that? You know, clunk.
Immediately identifiable as like, oh, someone threw a bowling ball and hit some pins.
I seem to recall that sound from somewhere. Wait, it's a bowling alley. And I'm sorry. Again, you're in a big open building with lots of flat polished surfaces for the sound to echo. So, yeah, okay. They're hiding out in the open. They give 2 minutes later and they're over there, you know, doing their Kingpin in the Apocalypse remake. Or would that be the Big Lebowski in the Apocalypse remake? Anyway, think of a bowling movie. And you already said it, and I'm going to say it again. If there was anything in that bowling alley that was worth 2 cents, it would have already been taken.
Right.
So the fact that there was a shotgun there is kind of like the, you know, I'm playing a video game and find the magic loot box, and it goes ka-ping, and the shotgun pops out. Because trust me, at this point, somebody would have busted in there and stolen all the huge cans of nacho cheese and, you know, whatever else they could have found inside the bowling alley. And I just went, really? Really?
Or even to give it even some kind of just a credit or something, it's like, yes, it could possibly still be there depending on what the situation of what happened during the ZA start, that maybe this is a smaller town and half the people already died and there was just not enough for people to scavenge, or it's so remote that it doesn't get all the traffic. But again, at this point, it's like people would have been scavenging, other groups would have like, you know, built up and then start sending people out. So go on.
Do you want me to say it, Kyle?
Go for it.
It's like, new in Hog Knuckle, Texas, it's Bill's Bowling Boutique. Come on down to Bill's Bowling Boutique. We're the best in everything for your 10-pin pleasure. Yeah, Bill's, the best stocked bowling alley in Texas. Sorry. And I knew it was coming. You could tell, because it's like you saw Charlie and you saw this young teenage man, and I could almost hear the, you know, and it's like, and we're sitting there watching television. My wife looks at me. She says, "What is that?" And I went, "Smells like teen hormones, dear." I'm just saying, as soon as they had their ghost with a bowling ball moment, I said, oh yeah, I know where this is going, and it's not going to be good.
Right. Yeah.
Because what are the rules, Kyle? Don't be the moral compass. And don't fall in love.
Yep. Yeah, this it did give me a little bit of early World Beyond, of where it was just like too much of this, oh, let's like take a page from there. They're just kids and they're like doing, having a party in the ZA, you know, that building, and just like playing music and like laughing and drinking and all this stuff. And it was just like, what? No, no, what?
It's like, I'm sorry your teenage years got interrupted by a huge zombie apocalypse, but now is not the time to go all CW network on us.
Yeah.
Because therein lies the path to destruction. So just to sort of segue off of our, so are they gone? Let's have a conversation in the bowling alley. June and John Sr. having their Mercer-esque conversation about, yes, we're going to bide our time so we can take over the tower from the inside, you know, right after Howard had about faced and walked down the hall. Again, let's hope there's a nice solid door, that he kept walking, that he wasn't just standing there listening to them talk because he's suspicious, or that they're in a largely unfinished concrete parking deck with little or nothing to absorb the sound. And to show my age and quote that famous 80s song, Hush, Hush, Voices Carry. I'm just saying, they did it again. It's like, they didn't even do the rubberneck. You know, it's like, look around. Is anybody there? No. They just start having a father-in-law, daughter-in-law, heart-to-heart right there. And I'm like, guys, now is not the time.
Yeah.
and okay, did you ever see the movie Fat Man and Little Boy?
That sounds familiar.
Okay, this is your homework assignment, that it had Paul Newman and I think it was John Cusack, and John Cusack dies of radiation poisoning towards the end of the movie. And I'm sorry if I just spoiled it for you kids, but that movie's been out for more than, I think, 20 years. But you need to watch it, because he has radiation poisoning. He looks like he's got radiation poisoning. He just doesn't have a little blotchy spot on his forehead. He has fluid in the lungs and blows up like a toad and turns red and dies horribly. That is radiation poisoning, kids. I don't know if they're going to kill her off. I suspect they will.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like having another Alicia-esque fainting spell. And it's like, you know, and of course, I have to do it. Yeah. Wake up, Charlie. Wake up. Charlie passed out. Sorry. I'm just kind of going, yeah, somehow it's like, okay, I got another good for instance for you. And it's two of my favorite Westerns. It's the difference between Dennis Quaid playing Doc Holliday in Wyatt Earp versus Val Kilmer playing Doc Holliday in Tombstone. Val Kilmer had the best lines and probably was the more memorable of the two for just his general portrayal and sassiness. However, Dennis Quaid looked like he had tuberculosis. And I think he said he lost like 40 pounds to play the part. He looked like death on a cracker. I mean, he looked sick. And even though he only had one really good line in the whole movie, in my opinion, he looked like he was going to die.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Charlie doesn't look like she's going to die of radiation poisoning to me. And, you know, maybe she's going to look worse later. But right now, you know,
It was
just
not
having a real hard time buying that one.
Yeah. Agreed. And if they don't make her look worse.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and the thing is, we know they know how to make the makeup to make her look sick. You know, come on, guys. You know, cut back a little on the Walker budget and slide that makeup money over there, because, you know, if she was really that ratted up, she would be like peeling and, you know,
or
she'd
yeah,
look
or like
bad,
yeah,
peeling and swole up and you know, going blind and, you know, and I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm going to get this out of the way in the weak sauce is, I don't care if you don't like her or not. I like Charlie. I'm sorry. I'll go ahead and go on record on now and say it. I thought Nick was a waste of skin, and I wish he'd have died in episode two.
When he was walking through the wasteland. Yeah.
At the point he was hiding underneath the old man stealing his morphine drip. I'm just like, cut your losses. I don't care if he's my son or not. He is an impediment to the survival effort. But then again, it was a clown car full of Shriners up until about what they got to the ranch.
Yeah.
And I've said it before. The only one I was rooting for that entire time was Daniel. 'Cause I said, my man's going to survive because he knows what to do and he can do the do. I said, everybody else, I ain't holding out much hope for him.
Yeah.
I'm pleasantly surprised that Alicia has lasted this long, because she actually got to be where she was, you know, fighting and killing and winning.
Yeah. 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 Well, we won't go back and...
Well, no, we're not going to. I'm just making my point.
I'm not like against it or not. You know, it was just, that's like, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. Of what Charlie did, I've never really liked her and how she got into the group. It's
well, I will agree with you. It was kind of, I was kind of going, okay.
Yeah.
But we know that Daniel went in and was playing daddy, so that definitely helped out later on.
Later, yeah, yeah. I mean, okay, that's
absolutely horrible.
Yeah. Well, anyways, that's, we'll continue on.
But yeah, as far as it goes, that's pretty much it. And it's one of those things. I really wanted to like it more than I did, but you know, the weeks and the whats just kind of were an overwhelming mountain to carry.
Agreed. It was, well, then yeah, let's just continue on, because yeah, I've got more. Like I originally had some stuff of the stuff that I'm going to say in watts in my weeks, but then it was kind of like, wait, these are watts. So
right.
Yeah. And I moved them. So, all right, well, let's go into our watt sauce.
What?
All right, I'll go ahead and start with Emma from the UK. And she said, are we to believe the Rangers couldn't handle the walkers in that building? Where is Strand? He abandoned his Rangers, then went AWOL? Just doesn't make sense. And when Charlie and Ollie kissed, it made me think, how are people keeping their teeth clean in the ZA? ? I've brought that up, I think. And many, like, just, yeah, just, we... Everybody. Well, this is the stuff that happens off screen. So you think that there's
charcoal and a soft stick.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and you know, they don't show people.
It's what they did before they had, you know, toothpaste.
Toothpaste. Yeah. Well, no, and they even do that like on Survivor. Like you see the contestants like using sticks and just basically like scrubbing their teeth to try to, you know, get them clean. It's like they don't show that to us on the show. So I mean, it is kind of like, yeah,
and they don't show them doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, because you would think that, like, okay, that is like one of the like what we take for granted now that would probably not be in the ZA because it's just not available, that like everybody probably smells like crap and all their breath smells really bad. Like, you know, it's,
well,
just,
maybe, maybe not, that you can make soap from things that you have. All you need is, you know, animal fat and lye and wood ash, and you could get that. You could make soap.
Yeah.
So, and two, you know, you have to maintain a degree of hygiene to stay functional. So, I just think that, you know, well, they don't show them going to the bathroom either.
Right, right. It's just...
So, I'm perfectly content to think that there's the post-apocalypse bathroom where everybody, you know, gets rid of their morning breath and, you know, freshens up a bit and they're ready to go on their zombie killing day. Aaron from the internet says, what is the mask protocol at this point? Good question. Charlie has one at the start, but the other kid didn't, and none of the Rangers had them on. Pick a choice and stick with it already, show. Sounds like something somebody else said. And then she goes, who bowls with people outside looking around and, you know, zombies? I get their kids, but that was just dumb to a new level for the ages they're supposed to be. If the goal was to kill a Ranger, then okay, good job, Charlie, manipulation. But because it was just to push the romance some more, I found it annoying. Bowling is fun. Yeah. But the stalker should have come back and done a shootout with him, at least in the bowling alley.
Right. Because, again, there was no time. Like, I mean, that's the thing. There was no time distance. It's like they literally were just outside the door, and then they walked off, and then it's like, oh, hey, let's have our little remote. Oh, you've never bowled before? Okay, let's do it. Yeah, it was just like, had it been an hour later? Had it been 2 hours later? No, it was just like the stalkers would have heard that, and they should have been fighting for their life.
Yep.
But none of that matters when there's, you know, romance to be had.
Well, and the other thing is, okay, so there were walkers in the other building, but there were no walkers in the bowling alley.
Right. Because I guess walkers don't like to bowl.
Well, there you go. Either that, or when the apocalypse hit, it wasn't league night, so nobody was there.
Maybe they just don't like all those stinky shoes or something.
Well, think about it, Kyle. You know, you're half rotten and you've got something that's got three finger holes in it. You know, how many two fingered zombies are there because their fingers are, you know, stuck in a lane in a rental, you know, a house ball somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, they're good for one throw. Just hope they get a strike.
That's right.
and they'd have to be ambidextrous because they'd have to use the other hand, but that's only two frames. So
it's a short game.
no turkeys for a zombie. Well, I mean, okay, they could granny bowl.
Yeah, and then they would keep their limbs.
Yes, but we don't know how flexible they are, so still.
That's true.
It's still a logistical problem, however you cut.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, that was fun.
So, Kyle, do you have any hot sauce after all that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, yes. My first hot sauce was coming because we have some new information, it sounds like. And it's like, what is the pit? And why is Strand sending people to it? So I'm assuming this is the same pit that Arno found last episode. I'm assuming, because I don't know. And then why is Victor gone and he's not back at the tower? Because it seems like that he has enough Rangers to send out to do things for him so that he can take his time to throw people off the roof of his building, that it's like, why is, you know, what is Strand doing? And like, why is he not there? You know, I feel like Strand is such a like control freak at this point that he wouldn't want to leave his tower without, like having, I mean, we get Howard as kind of his like sidekick or whatever, but I don't even think that he even trusts him enough that he would be fine leaving his tower after Alicia just said, hey, we're going to war. You know, it was just kind of like, okay. And then, you know, again, what's this pit? So I guess we'll find out, but it's still, it was just like, Victor is MIA conveniently. So we'll just guess, leave it at that.
Well, we have two guesses. We could say maybe the pit is the big crater full of zombies.
Right.
Or if you're a G.I. Joe fan, the pit is their headquarters.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he's discovered the secret G.I. Joe headquarters.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then it's like, why are the stalkers are asking about it? So it's kind of like, anyways, I guess it's a what in being like, okay, new information, what the heck? And then why is Victor gone? And what importance is this, you know?
Yep.
And so there's the what on that, at least on that side. The other part, and see, you kind of liked Howard in this episode, that, you know, like, because he's, you know, I guess he's kind of trying to act like, you know, or at least he's, you know, in charge at this moment. But I thought it was very, like, his character from when we first met him to kind of where he is now, I feel like they've done something to him, because I feel like he's acting all like Mr. Miyagi, like, like he's telling Allie, he's like, don't be the caterpillar, be the butterfly. Like, he's being all very, like, using antidotes and, like, trying to
He's gone all metaphor.
Yes, and it's like this whole meta thing, and it just, I don't know, it to me, it's not, it doesn't necessarily fit, because I felt like he was more, like, I feel like he should be acting more like a mini Strand wannabe, and that is actually should be more afraid of Strand and always in his shadow. And like, that's kind of how the portrayal of like him, like we've seen him kind of like where he tries, or he's attempted to kind of actually like countermand Strand, and like whenever Strand was basically like sick and poisoned or whatever. And then it seemed like that he was kind of like, no. And then Strand was like, whatever, shut up. Like, you know, and he kind of backed down. So I don't know. I felt like that's kind of where his character was going to go. He was almost like in the back of his mind, he was always like, oh no, I can stand up for myself. But in fact, it's like, you know, he just is always the follower, and Strand is who's like, you know, he's, you know, supports him, but then he's on the back, you know, yep, behind him. So I don't know, that kind of, I just didn't quite get in this episode. It just seemed very weird. And then Ollie, when he went in to go find Charlie, and he had that so like, you know, the whole stalker family got obliterated, you know, like eaten up conveniently, and then he got his gun back or whatever, and then he goes into the warehouse looking for Charlie, and then there's that one walker that's walking up to him, and he's like big, pretty decent distance away, and then Ollie has his gun, and I didn't catch it because I didn't watch this like a third time, and I don't even think I even caught it the first time. So I don't know if he was like trying to use it and it just wasn't firing, or if he was just like stalling or having a problem. And but then he just lets the walker basically just come right up on him and just fall on him. And it just, like, again, he didn't run away. He didn't like try to like, oh well, yeah, you're getting too close, let me back up. But then later he has no problem shooting walkers when he was like letting Charlie out of the elevator factory. You know, it was just like,
yeah, that. I think the gun worked fine. I think that was the, you know, him doing the old shaky cold sweat. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can pull the trigger. I don't think I can kill this walker. But then when Charlie was in the elevator and he's coming to the rescue, he's like, dun, dun, dun.
Right. It was like, not a problem.
I am Mr. White Knight, and I am saving my Lady Fair from the evil monsters.
Yeah.
Either that, or he just said, okay, I got to do it. I got to do it. I got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that he managed to cowboy up there and do his thing.
Right. But then why was he afraid? Because we just saw him in the beginning when he went to go capture the butterfly, that he took out that walker no problem while also catching the butterfly. So it was kind of like, what was he afraid of? Like, did he know the walker?
Maybe he knew him. Maybe that was, you know,
right, you know, one of the
Uncle Earl or the guy down the street or.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of, yeah, that kind of that was a thought. But then at the same time, it's like they didn't really relay that if that was the case. It was just all of a sudden he stalled just so perfect timing that the walker got close enough and then falls on him and almost eats him. And then Charlie has to save him. You know, it was just like,
yep,
just kind of silly. And then, like, speaking about him too, it's like he said, like, after he was like, so after he let Charlie out, and said, I guess he was going to help Charlie run away, that he said he knew of some places to hide out that he found when he was on patrol. So then I was just like, okay, wait, like, I'm not understanding where he fits then. And he's trying to be a ranger, but yet he's also allowed to go outside the walls to go on patrol. And I was like, is he like part of some junior ranger team? Because like,
well, he may not have been by himself.
Well, that's, I mean, okay, right. So it's kind of like, I guess if him being a ranger is so he can go out by himself.
Yep.
I guess.
That's okay. Kind of how I took it.
Okay. I mean, it was kind of just a little like, wait, like, I'm not quite understanding, like, how much time have you spent outside the walls?
And well, then- or like with the butterfly thing, they're sending him out on a short tether and keeping him, you know, within, say, telescope range of the tower.
Yeah.
That they're not letting him go way far out on his own, and then somebody's going to come check up on him, or he's going out with you know, a chaperone.
Yeah. Which I guess that makes sense, because that's what happened in the beginning, because he found Charlie and then they show up, you know, and it's just like, yep. So, well, unfortunately, he never is going to make senior ranger team.
Oh
yeah. And then also, like, did Ollie let all of Strand's butterflies out when he was like hooking up with Charlie on their first date? Because like,
that's kind of how it looked to me.
Yeah. So I mean, did he just basically say F it and then just like took all of Strand's butterflies out and just say, here, I'm giving this to you, Charlie? Like, I just kind of was like, that would have been enough for Howard to be like, what did you just do? I'm going to, like, you're going to get punished for this. To how what happened is like how he got punished.
Well, the only thing I had for what sauce is I went, Charlie's 13. She's 13. And I'm kind of going, well, I guess you can't blame the hormones and the chicken for that one in this far into the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. But when she said that, I went, really?
Yeah.
Really? You know, I might have believed it 2 years ago, but it's kind of like the point of, I think that the actress is 16 going on 17, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she looks 16 going on 18. And I said, 13, no.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you smudge her up and how much you put her into grunge wear. I just don't, that's no.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's like there was, like, at least some reviews of, like, we're talking about of how kind of questionable, or like, why did they do this kind of an episode saying, yeah, that she was 13. And then the Ali's character, like, was 16, I guess he said, or I don't know if they said, but it's like, but in real life, it's like 19 and she's only 16. And it was kind of like, and you're making them kiss. It was kind of like, seems a very. Yeah, it is what it is, I guess. All right, well, then I guess we'll go into our new sauce eye, which is the Oh Hell No sauce.
Oh, hell no!
Erin from the internet, her Oh Hell No sauce is... is this really how Charlie's going to go out? Slow death by radiation poisoning? I'm not sure how to feel about this because on the one hand, it fits with the world they're in, but it also feels kind of weak for all Charlie has done. I know some would love to see Madison take her out, but with this show, they'll probably just have Madison forgive her so that wouldn't happen. It works, as I said, but it also feels a little anticlimactic. Well, thank you, Aaron. Well, I'm kind of, on the other hand, it's like Charlie cannot die from radiation poisoning because Madison must be the one to kill her for killing Nick. Because I want an eye for an eye, damn it. I still can't forgive her for that. And it's not that I necessarily can't forgive her for that. And it's also the sense that I can't believe, like, Alicia forgave her for that. And then, like, she became a part of our group. It just, like, I don't know. Like, anyways, we talked about this and I don't want to, like, stick on it anymore. But it's just... Yeah, Madison's probably not going to. I don't know if this is one way that they're going to be able to just write her out so that she does not meet Madison. So that could be entirely the reason, and kind of like let her die off in a positive vibe if people have forgotten, right. You know, or that she did help. She really like was, you know, she turned around and then just like they end that whole little thread. So I hope it doesn't last long. That's the thing. I don't want this to become like, because what's she going to do? It's just going to have scenes of everybody coming up to her and she's in bed just basically falling apart. And then this just gets extended too long. It's kind of like, I don't know what that episode is going to be because obviously they're going to have, or is she going to walk off into the sunset? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Yeah. So we'll just. We'll just see. All right. Well, thank you, Aaron. And all right, then let's go into our sad and aw sauce. And I put this in here just because Emma did put it in her notes. That Emma from the UK, she just said nothing for this. So at least there was acknowledgement that there was nothing.
At least she's being honest.
Right. It's like just acknowledging and then just saying like, hey, yeah, there's nothing for this. Well, that was all we got for sad and aw sauces from our listeners. And I just put my sad sauce was just Ollie being thrown off the rooftop. Because, I mean, I guess in a sense, you know, he's a sweet kid, you know. And I was happy that he did get some good hits on Howard at least before.
Yeah.
He got taken out because he did kind of stand up and punch Howard and, you know, got at least some good shots in. So
it's true. He did.
Yeah. So like he turned around and was trying to, I guess, take on the, you know, the big guys and yeah, he got tossed off. I guess that's also going to be I wasn't expecting it, but even when the Ranger, what was his name? Garcia, when he came back and he was all sick or what, you know, like they're like, oh, he's got radiation poisoning and he right. was kind of telling a thing. That then all of a sudden there's just like the next scene or whatever and you hear this, and then this body go flying by the window. I was just like, okay, this is something we're going to see probably a lot of. And because it was like, yeah, did he really kill himself or... did he just get shoved off by Howard? Because that's what Strand would do. I don't know.
Right. And I think the fact that they left it sort of ambiguous left that thought in your head.
Yeah.
You know, did he do the noble thing or was it like, you know, was this sort of a Lizzie look at the flowers moment? It's like, hey, I know you've been sick and you haven't felt well. Why don't you go up on the roof and take in some fresh air?
Yep. And then poof. Oh, goodness. Well, that's just how it goes at Strand's Tower.
Yep. Well, and of course, I have two. One was, yes, I'm going to have to just go ahead and say it, is that it was cute and sweet while it lasted. You know, our sweet little teen romance in the apocalypse. And you're thinking, I've never had a boyfriend. I've never been to a junior high dance. I've never got caught making out by the science teacher under the bleachers during a pep rally. And just the whole scene of them in the room full of the butterflies. And it's like, aw, aw. And then, you know, in the afterglow of the moment, when she's all giddy and in love with this guy she just met just 45 minutes ago, as she looks out the window onto the vista of the ruined world. Why? She sees her boyfriend go flying by the window on his way to impact the concrete many stories below.
Yeah, that was kind of a, that was a scene for sure.
Well, and the problem is, I'm sorry, they telegraphed it well enough that I knew that's what they were going to do. Right. I knew that's what they were going to do. But even though I knew, it was still kind of,
aw.
The fact that, you know, the last thing you expect to see is, you know, Charlie!
I love you!
Yeah.
Wait for me, or like, oh goodness,
it's like, I'll be in the parking lot. I'll be hanging out with Will and Garcia.
Oh goodness gracious.
But just to I don't know if I would say lighten the moment. It just makes me wonder, how many people, is that the common thing? Is it like, does anybody want to go to the roof with Strand and Howard anymore?
Or even just go to the roof in general? It's like, you might die up there.
You know, it's like, you know, hey, it's time for your evaluation. Let's go up to the roof and walk around. Nope. I'm good here.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean,
it's like, can we go talk about this in the basement?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, no, they can't go to the basement because the elevator doesn't work. I guess.
They can take the stairs. Well,
They might have blocked them all off. I don't know.
Well, that's how they're getting. Well, they couldn't have blocked them all off because.
No, I know. They have to have a way out, and there's multiple.
And I mean, come on. That's the way you get your cardio.
Yeah, true.
You know, it's like. It's like, oh, you're getting soft taking the elevator. You got to take the stairs.
Yep, get your cardio, plan
and fitness. Carry those Encyclopedia Britannicas with you. Work those calves. Well, I agree with you. They probably do have the staircase blocked off at some point, but I doubt that they're you know, rappelling and abseiling up and down.
No, right. Yeah, I'm sure it's like maybe the lower or the first floor, like they right. have them blocked off so any walkers can't get up or whatever, but most of it's open and just the elevator's for Strand, I'm sure.
Yep. Okay. Well, that's all the sad that I have.
All right. Well, let's move on into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, we actually got a voicemail from Dieta from Detroit. So,
woo!
Yay! So I will go and play that.
Hi, this is Dieta calling from Detroit for the Fear the Walking Dead Talk To podcast. So first and foremost, I just want to say hi to everybody. Brian, Kyle, LT, and Renee, sending prayers and everything your way. We definitely miss you. But just to let you know, you're not missing nothing with this Fear the Walking Dead. You're not missing a thing. So whenever you get a chance to catch up, because trust me, you won't be very disappointed. Also, I wanted to say hi to everybody else, Emma, Glennis, and all the other newcomers and participants that leave feedback. Hi, everybody. So basically, I didn't really have much to say. I just wanted to add a little bit more about how terrible that episode was Sunday. I'm just feeling so defeated with Fear the Walking Dead. I mean, I really came for the season thinking we was about to get some action with the last scene being, you know, Lisa declaring war on Strand. So here I'm thinking we about to come back and it's about to be on and popping.
But of course, all we get is a bunch of weird episodes that don't really mean nothing. I'm still tripping on how Morgan actually trusted Charlie with that task of infiltrating Strand's camp to turn off the light. I don't even see how that plan made any sense. It's just like, I don't know. And then, of course, Strand was MIA the whole scene, which I was kind of glad because I didn't have to listen to none of his little speeches. I don't know. This is, I don't know. I just guess they need to move it along. Go ahead and end it, whatever they finna do. They could have just kept The Walking Dead going. I don't know. this show is just horrible. I guess we get to see a few characters pop up here and there, but that whole episode about Charlie and some guy we ain't never known before, yeah, right, come on. They would have did better implementing some of the other characters that we ain't seen and I don't know how long. So I guess Charlie's leaving the story. Yay! Happy, 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 happy. Didn't care for her anyway. She didn't do nothing. So that's it. Oh, and LT, I want to say that last podcast, I was behind, guys. That's why my feedback was kind of off about the Shelley Duvall. But you are hilarious. The last one, I just laughed through the whole, both of you guys, Kyle and LT, y'all kept me cracking up because I guess the suspension of disbelief for this episode. Oh, gosh, you just got to come and just don't expect nothing. Just like you said, put the suspension in the corner somewhere and say, I'll come back and get you an hour. But anyways, just wanted to say hey.
Thank you, Dieta, so much.
Yay!
Yay! Love getting voicemails. Yeah, my feeling is that they obviously, we know that there's the wars coming. Like, they have to do that. And this is just them doing these, like, little, like, spotlight episodes on characters. And it's not really, like, it's not fitting. And so I think we're going to get a couple more of these that are going to kind of be like still focusing on, you know, like Alicia and then Charlie. And then I think next episode is going to be like a Daniel episode.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then whatever else happens from there. But then there is going to be the point that then it's going to, they have to shift to like the main story of this deal. So I think once we get through a couple more episodes, that then we'll finally get what we've been expecting and wanting.
It's the thing that we have said about them anyway, is when they're on point and on task, they do a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. But anytime they try to do these segues or any type of, you know, adjacent story, they're kind of ham-fisted about it. You know, they're not. It's kind of bull in the china shop sort of thing. They don't, they're not real graceful when they do these little, you know, sidebar adjunct stories. And I think it's going to make sense. The problem is that they just didn't do they've never done a really great job of making it flow and making it make sense. Is that you get, you know, this little piece of sidebar story, this little piece of sidebar story, this little piece of sidebar story. Then at some point they're going to have an episode where this all supposedly is supposed to make sense to where we end up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And like I said, they're just not real good about blending this stuff and make it kind of flow and make it kind of have a point that, you know, if it was, yeah, you know, if it was me, if I could, you know, say if I was the one trying to plot this out, you make the B story something that's going to carry the war forward. Right. That we need to have, if you're going to have this big thing happen, we kind of had the first big blast of it there at the end of the break. And when they came back, you need to do a slow build where everything is building towards this big thing. And you could make the argument that what we've gotten has done part of that, but it's too disjointed to really carry the main plot that we're expecting forward.
Exactly.
It needs to be a little smoother. You know, it's to go with the blend analogy, it's like if you're trying to make a cake and you don't get everything together when you're putting the ingredients together, and it's like, oh, you get a big mouthful of butter, and oh, you get a big mouthful of flour, rather than it's cake and cake and more cake. Yeah, that I think is my two cents on that.
Yeah. And I can completely agree, because it does feel sometimes where it's just kind of like they get all over the place trying so hard to like do these like poignant things with one of the characters, you know, and it's like, okay, well, you're getting some character development and like more insight, or like, you know, whatever. Cause like I said, I was like, it was nice to see Charlie talking about basically like, I never had these things growing up because she was, this all happened to when she was young. So she's only known this life of just basically fighting. And so having this need and want of just like a normal life, like that. To me, I'm like, I get that. But then it's just like they tie it all up into this whole love story thing with like, especially someone that we don't know, you know, that it starts getting kind of muddled. And then they just like, it's almost like things are getting forced, and then it's just like too fast. And then there's just like, they don't give any explanations. And then you're just supposed to take it at face value and be like, oh, okay, sure, whatever, you know? And it's like, and then like, how is this going to tie in other than the fact that it's like, okay, Charlie's going to die now. So that are, you know, like we're going to have some interaction with the rest of the group about like, oh no, poor Charlie, and like whatever. And then that's going to be a whole episode. And then how is that going to tie, you know? Anyways, I'm hoping that we just get through some of these episodes, they do this thing that they're doing, and then we'll get to what we're expecting is basically the war and, you know, all this other stuff. And yeah, we'll see. It's just sometimes it's hard to go through. All right. Well, Deanna did leave some written feedback that says some of the same stuff, so I'll just go ahead and read it. And she said, so I'm guessing butterflies survived the nuke bombs? ? This was the dumbest episode yet, and just when you think it can't get any worse, they throw in a teenage love story with Charlie, who we haven't seen in episodes, with some new red shirt character called Allie, who wants to be a Strand Ranger. And she's like, eye roll. We are supposed to believe they like each other. Charlie says she was sent by Morgan to turn off the beacon light, but Charlie gets sick and changes her mind. She doesn't want to do it. June says that she's going to die of radiation poisoning, which may be true, except that nearly every character on this show has been exposed to massive amounts of radiation, especially since everyone is mask on, mask off. Good point. Charlie is not trustworthy because she basically said, forget the plan, and blabs it out. But Charlie tells Allie that the plan, and her new boyfriend decides to do her dirty work for her. Chin scratch. Really? Of course he gets caught, then thrown off the building before he can do it. Hell, just throw them both off the building, especially with Charlie's fake shock and crying face. Because what did she expect to happen to him? Did she really think that he was going to be able to do it without getting caught? He basically ran up there with no thought out plan, was not suspicious about nobody being up there when he got there, and wouldn't there be somebody on guard on the roof to make sure nobody approaches the beacon light? Just dumb, and while I'm thinking about it, I'm over them throwing people off the building as punishment for misbehavior in Strand's compound. Yeah, it was different when they showed it the first time. No, it's getting old and corny. Yeah, we get it now. Then people jumping off because they are dying of radioactive contamination. Man, whatever's with this show with no plots. And who were the mystery people, Chin Scratch? That didn't know how to fight off the dead, or that don't ever let somebody open a door first before you check to see if the dead are behind it. And she's like rolling on the floor crying. Yeah, that I still can't get past that, because it was, I think I even wrote my notes, it was the fact that I'm like, wait, like that's what you expect at this point after so long, that you're going to go into a building that you don't know, and you open the door, you expect there are going to be walkers.
Well, maybe underneath all the rags, they have Commonwealth suits.
I mean, it totally could. That's so funny. Oh, and then she goes on, overall, another terrible episode. Thought this season was going to give us a war. Eye roll, face palm, head explode. But all they are doing is dragging us down with another terrible storyline. Oh, I feel your pain, Dieta. I think I have hope that, like we said, we'll finally get there. We just have to get through this part. So, we'll see.
We'll see. So we got some feedback from Glennis from Toronto. She says, contrast Strand collecting butterflies with hoofing people over the side of the building as punishment for any sign of sickness, rebellion, or not obeying his orders. Strand is really trying to keep all the people hostage at the tower, just like the butterflies. If he gave his people free rein to live their lives, they wouldn't stay with him. I thought when Strand and Howard first met that Howard was good and morally sound, and as a result would be offed in quick time by Strand. But Strand has made sure Howard is controlled and under his thumb to do his bidding like a good brainwashed and manipulated person he has become instead, with not questioning anything and taking Strand's word as the gospel. Oh, she goes on to say, so Ali was bowled over by Charlie. Ouch. Charlie experiencing two firsts, 10-pin bowling and a budding romance. So the, air quotes, 13-year-old Charlie experienced her first kiss on her birthday when becoming a teenager. John Sr. and June's performances in this episode were pretty stiffly acted. I'm glad that John Sr. is trying to get into Strand's inner circle and so help out Morgan and Alicia. June standing up to Howard was also good to see. June doesn't need to make the same mistakes again in believing in Utopia like she did with Virginia in the hospital. She ultimately lost John Jr. because of her decision to continue with Virginia. At least Ali wasn't all naivete and ignoring everything going on around him just to become a fully fledged ranger, though he realized a little late that there was another way to Strands, yet another character that met his end after one episode. So Charlie is doomed to die at some point with the radiation poisoning. Will she survive long enough to meet Madison? As that could prove to be a very awkward meeting since Charlie killed Nick. Also wonder if even Alicia will still be alive for the Madison reunion since she's so sick too. I suppose, fortunately, winky face, we'll be saved going through Fear the Walking Dead episodes of Teenage Angst with Charlie dying off sooner rather than later. So who will complete Morgan's plan and switch the beacon light off now that Charlie and Ali were both unsuccessful?
Yeah, I don't know. That's then. Well, I guess we now can sit there and look at June and John Sr. Since they're in there and Charlie's still alive enough to tell her plan and Morgan, you know, Morgan was trying to get her to do so.
Yep.
That would be my point. All right. Well, that was all of our listeners' feedback. So let's go into ours. And I mean, I didn't really have much, and I kind of already, you know, talked about this. It was just, at least we got something new outside of the war that I think that, you know, a lot of us are expecting that that's what we were going to get. But then there's something that's going on with the stalkers and what they're calling this pit. So, you know, it's something that Strand is a part of, it seems, you know, so it's a new wrinkle in the story that I'm assuming they're going to play it out, but then it's also to what end? And then also why? Because it's like, we have, like, you know, is this something he's working on to protect himself from Alicia, knowing that Alicia's wanting to come after him and Morgan?
Right.
So that's the only thing I can think of is that he's working on something to protect his, you know, empire, and it's this pit, and somehow the stalkers know about it. And so that's, you know, because I mean, I guess we do have we still have Arno and I guess the stalkers. So, you know, like we have them out there causing their troubles. And obviously there seems to be enough of them that they're out on patrols and doing all of the stuff. And then we have Alicia and I'm assuming whoever is still alive that were,
right,
you know, with her originally, and then Morgan, and are they all at the sub, you know, you know, that kind of thing. So it was kind of like we have three forces, and then they're all interacting with each other. And so it's kind of like, you know, what are they going to do with this? Which hopefully they'll get to soon.
Yeah. And we don't know.
Right.
So. I mean, would it not be kind of ironic if the pit turns out to be the bunker where Alicia was in the beginning?
Well, then somebody is actually going back to usable.
Well, and like I said, we don't know. And I'm trying to think of what would be logical. You know, is there another bunker? Is there something that, you know, some military base or something? But it's... It's kind of nice that we've been getting, you know, up to this point, it was Padre. Is this going to be the new Padre? The pit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, Padre's still in there. And I think there's been even, like, from just stuff I've seen on the internet and stuff like that, that it seems possibly that Madison is somehow a part or tied or whatever to Padre. But then again, yeah, like we have this war. And so now that we have this pit, and so that's something else. And so that's going to take over this whole Padre now. And then all of a sudden we'll do an about face and be like, oh yeah, that's right, we forgot about Padre. But then that's somehow where this whole Madison thing, and then yes, that's probably going to continue into season 8.
Some other plot wrinkle we were unaware of.
Yeah. So we shall see.
We shall.
All right. Well, thank you everyone again for all your wonderful feedback as always, and voicemail, Dieta. All right. Well, then did you have anything before I...
No, sir. Okay. Go ahead.
All right, well, that takes us into our news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
All right, first I would like to thank Brian for putting these into the doc so I didn't have to do them, because I was running behind a little bit today, and he messaged me and was like, I took care of the ratings. So, Fear of the Walking Dead, Season 7, Episode 10, got a 0.15 in the 1849 with 789,000 viewers, a 0.26 in the 25 to 54, and a 0.50 in the 50+. Last week, the Season 7, Episode 9 episode got a 0.15 with 0.15 in the 1849 with 835,000 viewers. So... more viewers, same rating, 0.23 in the 25-54 and a 0.53 in the 50+. So again, as we've always been saying, steady.
Yep.
Which seems to be like good, you know, it's like it's not too terribly, like it just fell off the cliff, but it'd be kind of interesting to see what happens next week.
Yep. So this week we had a bulge in the 25-54.
Yeah. Yep. And yeah, the 50+ is still pretty same. I still don't understand the whole number of viewers. It must be a range between this, you know, number and this number, and then that still counts for the 0.15. Well, all right. Talking Dead was not on this week because they are not going to come back until, I'm assuming, that the finale of Fear. And then Season 7, Episode 9, so last week's episode of Talking Dead got a 0.03 in 1849 with 150,000 viewers this week, or that week, which we talked about was they didn't air it right after, and it just got hammered. There actually are no parrots. I looked and looked and looked and looked, and this is what's in the docs from last week, and I don't know what's going on with the parrots, because... it seemed like that was pretty consistent that when they released them. So I don't know what's going on, and then what's going to change. But as soon as I see anything, you know, I'll bring it on, because I would be very curious to see where Walking Dead is. And I know Stranger Things season is coming soon, and I know that that is definitely getting more traction, because I think everybody's probably either rewatching or like... getting that in, so I'd be curious if that's starting to like gain up on the parrots. And news, I looked, there was nothing that I could find really that was going to be worth talking about. There was just, I mean, there's
the only thing that I've seen is that they're starting to, release a few, you know, teaser slash spoilers for the next round of the main show. And there seems to be a lot of discussion about Charlie.
Oh, are they doing this on social media or?
Yeah.
Or is it just?
Just from what I've seen on, there's two or three websites that I will, you know, glance at the headlines for that typically have a few things. And there's several people that pop up on my feed in YouTube that have, you know, Walking Dead related content. And as I said, I saw a few things come across the news feed post episode that were talking about, you know, whither Charlie and, you know, is this going to be the, main cast death that one of the showrunners was predicting, or are they going to sneak another one in on us or
on it? Yeah. Well, it seems like they like to care. Kill everybody else but our main characters.
Well, and that's the thing is that I expect just from what I've seen that there we may have some, you know, quote unquote shocking deaths in the main show in that last run.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as we have said before, it's been a long time since they killed anybody within, you know, 2 degrees of Rick Grimes.
Or right.
Yeah, none of the main cast has really died.
Yeah, John Dory's, but then was the last death.
John was the last on Fear.
Yeah, yeah, and then on the main show, true. That's also it's been a while, and we know. See, that's the thing. We can expect that we're going to lose somebody on the main show. Just with Fear, it's like.
It's hard to tell.
Right. And it's not going to be unexpected. Like we get this with Charlie and it's like, oh, okay. She's radiation poisoning. So it's kind of like, it's not like she's out on some mission or trying to do something and she gets like separated or like, you know, whatever. And then like, oh my gosh. And then she dies. It's kind of like, oh, okay. She's going to die at some point. Right. It's like, it's not shocking.
or they're not going to. They haven't seemed to be very prone to give anybody else the Connie treatment.
Or, yeah, right.
That either they leave the show or, you know, it's just a while till we get back around to their characters.
Right. Oh, well. Well, I hate saying that. It's like, I guess we'll see. It's kind of like, well, I want to see. That's the thing. Well, I don't.
Yeah. And I mean, you think about it, how long did we go where we didn't see Wendell?
No, I know. Forever.
Forever. And now he pops up at the tower.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it's just, they tend to play a lot faster, a lot looser, and a lot less consistently with, showing the main quote unquote main cast.
Yep. LT, you want to tell people how to interact with us?
So we want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's at Walking Dead TTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadTTM. You can send us email. That's walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. If you want to send us feedback, you can use our feedback form on our webpage. That's talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can call area code 216-232-6146. Remember that all of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell and additionally hit that like button. So if you hit the bell, you'll get notified when the new videos drop. And those videos go out to YouTube first before the podcast does.
And to support us, you can like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page. You can find that at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And the best way you can support us is in our Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, Dieta Patterson, Guy over there, Lawrence Todd, and me.
Hello.
Kyle McAdams. Remember that Dieta, Clint, and Renee will be getting an early version of this episode this week. You can also subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. And there you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. And as always, remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. What else is going on at Talk Through Media? Well, Brian and Ruthie are covering Star Trek Picard and Star Trek Discovery, as well as Star Trek Strange New Worlds. You can find them over at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com or StarTrekPicard.com. And at the Facebook group, for more information, you can find that at Facebook.com/group/StarTrekTTMPodcasts. And if you'd like to support them, they also have a Patreon for those podcasts. You can find that at Patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. You can also find Revenge, Deep Space Nine, and Prodigy, covered by James and Kim, and Star Trek Lower Decks, that is hosted by Brian, Kyle, and LT. All right, well, the next episode of Fear the Walking Dead, Season 7, Episode 11, is titled Ophelia. Interesting. Written by Alex Delisle and David Johnson, directed by Alicia Dedham Carey. Hey, so Lenny James did this episode, and then now Alicia Dedham Carey is going to direct this coming episode.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Morgan wasn't in this episode than he directed, so she's probably, you know, not going to be in this episode. But then, I don't know, this is her first directing credit, right?
I think so.
Yeah, and we've heard about this, that, you know, she was spending more time behind the camera, and I wonder how many of the episodes that, you know, she's going to be involved in like that. So I don't know, I'm excited, and I think we're going to definitely see about Daniel. And actually the description is Luciana and Wes test the limits of their patience when Daniel's worsening mental state ends up endangering them all. Mm. I don't like the idea of Daniel worsening. I want him to be sharp as a tack and back.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, so until next time, I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everyone.
Good night.